clap of praise in this place. It's revival time in the house of God. And we're excited to have Brother Phillips with us today. Before he comes, very quickly want to congratulate Kyle and Katie on the arrival of that new baby. Have some pictures. Revival in the nursery. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Phillips, we want you to come and preach to us. Why don't you lift your hands to heaven and pray right now as he comes. God, anoint him. Speak to us, oh God, by your word.
Why don't you lift your hands and your voice one more time and ask the Lord to move in this house. Come on, lift your hands and your voice to Jesus right now. Worship him for a moment. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. God, we give you glory. We give you thanks. We give you honor. You're worthy. Come on, just tell him how worthy he is today. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Ooh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Don't you like what you feel in this house this morning? Isn't it wonderful when you've been working all week and hell has been trying everything that it can to try to destroy you, to just be able to come into the house of the Lord? As the song says, there's no place I'd rather be than the presence of the Lord. You have your Bibles today, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. I feel like the Holy Ghost is going to do something special in this sanctuary today. And while you're turning there, I want to give honor to priest of this house, Bishop Sutton. Love you so much. Give you honor, double and triple, quadruple and honor. Just we love you and appreciate you and your stand. And this week, the men, a few men of this church were so kind. Those of you who have been connected to me any at all know I'm in the middle of remodeling a house. We were trying to get it level. And Brother Collins, Brother Ben, Brother Lawson, Brother Daniel, and Brother Cliff all came, drove all night Wednesday night, slept fast, got up early, and helped me. And I want to give them honor today and say from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your help. Amen. I tried to pay them. I just don't feel like one pot of crawfish was enough, Brother Collins. And, thank you again so much. I am forever indebted to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul writing says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I beseech you, brethren, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth." In the parentheses, you will notice he makes mention of a particular man. We're going to talk about that man here in a little bit today. He says he was the first fruits of Achaia, and he tells us what this man Stephanas has done. He says he has addicted himself to the ministry of the saints. With your help and the help of the Lord, I want to preach just for the next few moments simply this: addicted. Addicted. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and your voice to heaven? God, we love you. We praise you, give you glory, give you honor, give you thanks. There's nobody like you, Jesus. God, you're the first, you're the last, you're the everlasting. You're the one who was, who is, and is to come. The Almighty. Come on, somebody praise him right now. Somebody lift him up. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your ever-loving kindness. Thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, but please don't sit down long. We're going to preach today as the Holy Ghost to help us, and I need your help. Will you help me, New Life? You're going to help me preach today. Amen. Amen. Here is the popular setting of a truth most men bring to their attention when they are thinking of the most popular writings of Paul. When you think of a place that Paul is exercising his apostolic authority, and by telling them how it is, for lack of a better term, you think of the letters that are written to the church at Corinth. It is in these letters that we find probably some of the best teaching that you can possibly find within the Word of God. It is in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians that you can just about follow the order of how a church should go. And we know we need the entirety of the Word of God, but you can take the outline of what was written at Corinth, and I'm going to tell you that it still applies to this world today. Hallelujah. This was a wicked city where people lived in twisted and perverted lifestyles. They have been raised in a world where they have been opened at a young age to immorality. They have been opened to at a young age to false god worship. Introduction to sorcery, some say, has happened at the ripe old age of 7 years old in Corinth. And now they have been brought truth, and Paul writes to them and tells them to stand fast in the faith. Be strong against the spirits of perversion that want to deceive you. Let all things be done with charity. And now we got to realize who he's talking to in modern terms. He's talking to people that have been blown around like the wind from one false god to another false god. They have been blown around like the wind, if you'll allow me to put it in 21 terms, and church to church. They have never been solid, and we see some of his writings to deal with that. He is writing to these people that have never really had a relationship with the one true living God. I will take that a step further and say that these young men and ladies that he is talking to in the church, again, if you'll allow me to put it in my own common terms, they were bar hoppers and alcoholics, winos, brawlers, adulterers, nicotine addicts, heroin addicts, meth addicts, you name it, they did it. These are the people that whenever something crazy's going on, you just go today on your lunch break, I guess you could call it that, and you start looking at what was going on in Corinth, and you will realize that these people are, for lack of a better term, they're crazy. And Paul says to these people, you know your buddy Stephanas, the first fruits of Achaia. He has addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints or the maintenance of the saints. And I beseech you that you do likewise. Paul was writing again. I want to reiterate this fact today. I'm not going to preach long today. But I do want to reiterate that he was writing to a bunch of folks that had grown up the wild and crazy bunch of their day. These are the ones that make Paul put his hand in his hands and say, be a pastor, they said. It'll be fun, they said. These are the people that are calling him at 3 o'clock in the morning, just telling him all the wild stuff that's going on in their world. The Corinthians are the one that make Paul look at himself in the mirror and say, what did I ever do to deserve this? I don't know if Paul had hair before he went to Corinth, but I can guarantee you he didn't when he left. Because these people are driving this man mad. The problems he deals with, these people are the kind that make Paul, looking back on the days that he was shipwrecked and being beaten, and say, oh, if I could just turn back the hands of time. That's how bad the Corinthian church
really was. These folks know how to drive a good man crazy. And in the closing remarks of his first letter to this wild church, Paul has an idea. You see, because Paul has rebuked some and that didn't work. And Paul has exhorted and that didn't work. And he prayed and they were still driving him crazy. And I can imagine Paul pacing the floor saying, God, how can I fix this wild bunch of folks? They are addicted to sin. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes off in his head and Paul realizes that an addict will always be an addict. And so Paul writes and says, you know, your brother Stephanus, he is addicted to the ministry, and I want you to do the same likewise. Because Paul got the revelation that your addicts and addicts are never going to change. And so what I need to do is not try to change you from being addicted. I just need to change what you're addicted to. Can I preach to somebody today that walked in this house and you've tried so many other things and it failed you, and you can't live a good life if somebody was holding a gun on you? You want to know what the problem is? The problem is the fact that you're an addict, and that, my Lord, help me, Jesus, and what you keep trying to do is get unaddicted. Honey, you don't need to become unaddicted. You just need to get addicted to the Holy Ghost. You need to get, Lord, help me, Jesus. You need to get addicted to the power of the God of heaven and earth. You don't need to change. You just need to change what you're addicted to. I'm telling somebody here today, let's change the addiction that you've dealt with, and let's change it to that is godly. I'm going to tell you today, you might say, I can never get high again. Honey, you don't know how high you can get. You're just addicted to the wrong stuff. Because I'm going to tell you, once you get addicted to the Holy Ghost, once you get the power of God living on the inside, you'll get higher than you've ever been before. Well, I know, my Lord, help me. Some of you are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. But let me tell you something, honey. I'm going to preach to you right now that you can't fix it on your own. And you can't change it on your own. And you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together all by yourself. But if you can get just one little hit of this Holy Ghost, if you just get one taste of it, the next thing you know, you'll be begging somebody, just get me back to the house of God. And let me get another touch. Just give me back to where the Spirit of the Lord is. I'm addicted. I want more. I want more. Hallelujah. I know you're wondering, on a Sunday morning, maybe this is your first time ever coming to an apostolic church, and you wonder why people are running the aisles like they've done around here this morning. And while people are jumping up and down like they've done and spinning around in circles, come back tonight, somebody will probably be turning front flips. Who wonder why we do all this stuff? Because we're addicted and we can't get in. Brother Phillips, why does it take all of that? It's because I remember where I was when God found me, and I can't help but get excited when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. I can't help but go to the house of God and say, I got to give him praise one more time. I got to get in his presence one more time. I got to get a touch one more time. Preacher, I'm addicted. It's just the way that it is. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Addicts are always going to be addicts. You take somebody off the street, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. And I can see you bobbing your head because you know where God brought you from. But you can remember what it was like when you were high out of your mind or so slobber drunk that you couldn't even tell which line was the yellow and which line was the white. You remember back to that day when you found God, God found you in that mess. And you know what I'm talking about when you came to church and God delivered you from all of that. And you just had to have something to fill your time because you were used to doing it all the time. Let me tell you something about an addict. They live every moment looking for, I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody today, but I'm here to tell you that you can find help in the house of God right here, right now. Let me tell you about an addict. An addict is always looking for his next high or his next drunk. And you want to know what needs to happen? You need to look for your next high at an apostolic altar. You need to look for your next drunk at an apostolic altar. Jesus, help me. You need to find yourself drunk in the Holy Ghost. You need to find yourself speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. As you're just weaving and bobbing around this altar, can't even walk straight because the Holy Ghost has got so much on you. Honey, that's what this world needs. It don't need to stop being addicted. It just needs a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. So that's pretty simple. Yeah, I know it is. So we need something a little bit deeper than that. It's got to be harder than that. No, it's not. You just get a little taste of this Holy Ghost, and you'll find out exactly why people are standing on their feet today. All you need is just one little taste of what the old taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Just gets you one experience with God, and you will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. I'm preaching to somebody that came in here today, and you've got the shambles of your world in your hand, and you're wondering, how am I ever going to get over this? I'll tell you how. You switch what you're addicted to, and you get the Holy Ghost. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name after you repent of your sins, and the promise is going to continue through you unto your children and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for you. This Holy Ghost, it's for you.
My question is simply this, church. Can I preach to you for about 5 minutes? What made Stephanas addicted? We have reason to surmise that this young man, Stephanas, we have history with him in our Bible. He hasn't always been a Christian. Matter of fact, when we read about him in Scripture, it doesn't mention his name. It just mentions his occupation as a jailer. He is addicted to putting Christians in prison. No doubt he had heard why Paul and Silas had been put in prison. A damsel who was a soothsayer has been delivered, and it made her masters mad. He undoubtedly was there with the crowd as they shouted with joy as they beat Paul and Silas. And they handed them over to Stephanas to keep them safely. Stephanas, historians would say, was the very man that decided he was the jail keeper. It was his call. He would be the man that would decide not to just put Paul and Silas in the typical jail cell, but to put them in stocks and in bonds in the inner prison. It was his call to make sure that Paul and Silas were just as uncomfortable as they could be. It was his job to make sure. It was his call. He made it when he said, make it where they can't clap their hands and make it where they can't stomp their feet. Make them immobile. Put them in a place where they cannot move. That was all Stephanas' call. But what he did not realize is that when you got somebody that's really got the Holy Ghost and they're so addicted to this, you can stop them from clapping and you can stop them from stomping, but you can't stop them from praising.
When you got somebody that's really addicted to it, you can take their paycheck and they'll still come to church and dance. When you got somebody that's really addicted to it, you can take their joy and they'll still come to the house of the Lord and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, his first example of what apostolic church was somebody that had every reason to pout and be mad at God. His first reaction into the kingdom of God was somebody that was sitting there that had been beat, that had their hands fastened and their feet fastened. But Paul and Silas made up in their mind that I might not be able to clap my hands and stomp my feet, but devil, you're not going to take my praise because I'm so addicted to this. I'll find a way out of no way. I'm telling somebody, you need to get so eat up with this Holy Ghost. If you get up on Sunday morning and got a flat tire, you'll Uber to church. You'll walk if you got to. I just want to be at the house of the Lord. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. I just want to praise his name.
Help me, Jesus. I'm fist in the middle a little bit. God forbid that a Stephanus walks in today and their first reaction to the apostolic church is, well, they're pretty much like everybody else. Well, it got quiet all of a sudden. How would you like to know that a Stephanus come in and was watching you? Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I've been through this week. Paul and Silas had been beat and put in stocks and bonds, but yet there was somebody out there that needed to see them praising in that place. There was somebody out there that knew they were in stocks and knew they were in bonds and knew they had had a bad week and knew. You want to know what attracts the people on your job when they know how bad of a week you had, but you come in on Wednesday and say, boy, I just can't wait to get to church and shout about what's been going on this week. You mean in this time? Yeah, right here, right now, with everything going wrong, I'll praise him. Yes, I'll praise him. I'll give him glory because he's good. I'm addicted to apostolic praise and worship. I'm addicted to worship service. I'm addicted to running and jumping and dancing. But God help me that I don't ever get to a place that I can't praise him with my mouth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He was saying, honey, if you don't have your hands and you don't have your feet, but God's been good. You still got a right. You still got a reason. You still got a way.
Stephanus, look at your neighbor and say, Stephanus is watching. Shake him a little bit and say, what are you showing him? Are you showing him, my God, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't want to be around folks that didn't like what they were doing. And one thing I will give them in the world, you say, well, I don't believe in all that getting drunk and acting a fool. I'm going to tell you what, when you get somebody that really loves it, they make it look fun. So were you trying to give the devil credit? No, I'm telling you that you need to step it up a notch. You need to make it look fun. I can't get no help on a Sunday morning. I guess I'm going to have to preach this. You come in, my God, help me, Jesus. You come in here beat up by the world. You're wearing a frown. My Lord Jesus, you turn a mule that was coming your direction. You could turn a northbound train south off the tracks with that ugly face that you put on because you're mad about everything that happened. Honey, you're not an addict like I am because the last time I checked, God had still been good. And if
he never does another thing, if he never blesses me, if he never touches me, he's already done enough. I'll praise God with my voice, with my hands, because I'm addicted to the presence of the Lord.
Can I tell you today that it's hard to be addicted to depression when you're addicted to doctrine? Yeah, it's hard to be addicted to pouting when you're addicted to praising. It's hard to be addicted to gossip. Somebody said, when you're addicted to the gospel. It's hard to be addicted to Hollywood when you're addicted to a hallelujah. It's hard to be addicted to talking about everybody when you're addicted to talking about Jesus. It's hard to be addicted to drugs and alcohol when you get this kind of high that you can't get anywhere else. This world, this Corinthian Irons world, doesn't need to stop being addicted. It just needs to change what it's addicted to. You don't need to quit, honey. You don't need to quit dancing. You just got to change tunes. You don't need to quit drinking. You just need to change fountains. I want it more than anything else in the world. Give me another shot of that holy hour. Give me, I'm done. Isaiah 6:3. Give me Isaiah 6:3. I promise I'm closing right now. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's a pretty good reason to shout. Go to verse 4. I want you to get this. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and watch, and the house was filled with smoke. Now I'm gonna give you a little McNary County preaching now. Are you ready? When I was a kid, you could go to McDonald's, and Brother Antoine, McDonald's had a smoking section and a non-smoking section. Some of y'all older folks know what I'm talking about. I'm actually old enough to remember that. Every restaurant you went to just about had a smoking for the addicted people and a non-smoking. You know what you need to do today? You need to walk in and say, put me in the smoking section. I want to be where the glory of God falls and the priest can't even stand. I want so much Holy Ghost. I want it so bad. You put me in the smokiest part of the church, and that's where I want to be. Put me in the place where the most glory's falling, and that's where I want to hang. That's why when you see people preaching and folks start getting out of their pew and edging up to the altar, you want to know what they're doing? They're saying, God, I want to be in the smoking section. I want to be where the glory's at. I want to be where I can get a miracle. I want to be where I can get a breakthrough. I want to be where the glory's coming down. I got a lot of other stuff I want to preach, but I ain't going to preach it today. Maybe I'll get to preach part 2. I just got one question. Where are my addicts at? You see, because an addict don't need no help getting high. They can do it all by themselves. Where are my addicts at? They don't need the right song to be played before they shout, where my addicts at?
They don't need the right beat of the drum to let it get to the right tempo. And they ain't worried about who's playing their favorite song. There's just something that starts welling up on the inside that says, God has been good. And that's enough. That's enough. I'm a shout out there because he's been good.
Help me, Bishop, get me out of this. You know what some of y'all acting like right now? Like that one cool kid that only wants to party on the weekend.
Right. See, but an addict, it don't matter to them if it's Sunday morning or Sunday night. And it don't matter if it's Tuesday at noon. They just understand that God's been good.
Let me just pause right here for a second and tell you, if you don't understand one word I've talked about, then just come on up here to this altar and let somebody pray with you, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But back to what I was saying. Bishop, I'm telling you, it's getting dangerous. I'm getting really comfortable around here. Some of y'all have learned how to shout in the same 14 inches since I've been here. You ain't moved out of that same 14 inches of pew. And you're really good at doing the huckabuck or the watusi or whatever it is that you do. In that 14 inches. You see, but there's a deal about an addict is he's always got to find the next level. That was good stuff. But do you have anything any better? I dare you to step out of that 14 inches and see what I'm talking about today. I dare you to get out of your seat and lift up your voice and lift up your hands. I double dog dare you to step out from where you are and give God praise and see if you don't experience something that you've never seen, never heard, never tasted before. My dance. Yeah. Come on, somebody ought to shout on a Sunday morning. Somebody ought to dance on a Sunday morning. Cause you just want another time. To the balcony, is there any more? Come on, is there somebody else? If God's been good to you, you ought to lift up your voice and shout.
I got victory. You might think we're almost done, but I want to tell you we're almost there. You need to get out of where you are and begin to worship and magnify God. Take somebody by the hand. Find yourself a dancing partner. This has to be like when you're a kid and it's about to get dark outside and mama's saying, come on inside. It's time to quit, but you don't want to quit. You want to just press on a little further. I want somebody to press into this today. I want somebody to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Throw back your head, talk in tongues, shake until you feel something move in your life. Come on, there's healing in the house. Somebody reach up and lay hold of it. There's a word for you in the house. Reach up and lay hold of it today. Come on, have another shot. Come on, have another shot. Come on, drink deep again. Come on, somebody's praying through right now. Your job is to just have a party. Your job is just to have a party. Come on, your job is just to let yourself go in the presence of God right now.
I gotta pray.
Yeah.
I gotta pray.
Come on, before we go, reach over and lay your hand on somebody and let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. Just worship together. Just praise together. Just talk in tongues together. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Clap your hands, lift your voice. Give him some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him high praise. Ah, we give you praise, oh God. We magnify you, Lord God. We bless your name, oh God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody in the house already addicted to the things of God? Anybody plan on becoming an addict? Hallelujah. Praise God. And he's absolutely right. You don't stop dancing, you change partners. You don't stop smoking, you just start smoking something different. You just got to really get a hold of this, because there is nothing better in the whole world than the kingdom of God. And I'll just tell you, you can drink deep here today, and tomorrow morning you won't have a headache, and you won't wobble, and you won't feel sick. But you can just get as high as a kite in the Holy Ghost in this house this morning and tonight. And it's better than, I tell you what, I've been to bar rooms, I've been in drug houses before, but I've never had anything like the Holy Ghost. I've never had anything as good as the Holy Ghost, and I've never had anything that left me in better shape than the Holy Ghost leaves me. Everything in this world takes something from you every time you drink it or smoke it or take part in it. But this kingdom of God adds to you every time you draw close, and every time you get high on the things of God, it adds to you and it builds you and it betters you. Somebody that knows that, say amen. So let's once more clap our hands, lift our voice. Let's magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my praise God. Brother Phillips, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank God for the moving of his spirit in the service. We're looking forward to a great move of God tonight. I want you to get some flyers or cards. And wherever you go this afternoon, whoever you meet at a drive-thru, at a restaurant, at a business place, give them a card and invite them. Tell them something extraordinary is going to happen in the house of the Lord tonight. And you need to be there. I mean, sell it to them. Look them dead in the eye and convince them something extraordinary is going to happen in the Lord's house tonight, and you really need to be there. If you let that anointing come on you, the anointing can touch their heart in places you can't go. And I'm just telling you, somebody's going to come to the house tonight. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. You be a part of that. God bless you.